Sometime before the turn of the 18th century, there were two young men who were very brilliant academics. One of them was called Gilbert West, and the other one was from a very wealthy background. He was called Lord Lyttelton. And one day they had been talking together, and the topic of Christianity came up. And they said, the one to the other, "How can men and women possibly believe the Bible?" And those two men decided that as they left each other, the university or wherever it was they were at that time, for the summer break, that over the summer, Lyttelton would study what the Bible had to say regarding the conversion of Paul, formerly Saul. And West, he would consider what the Bible said about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would bring their findings together, and they would disprove the Bible. So the weeks went past, and after the summer was over, they came back together, and when they spoke with each other, they confessed that the resurrection was true, that it really happened, and the other man, his findings were that the conversion of the Apostle Paul really happened as well. And both of the men were changed. In fact, Mr. West, he wrote a book which was to do with proofs of the resurrection. And there are lessons, men and women, to be learned, even from what we've already said about those two men tonight. Get the word into your hands. And you have that tonight. That's the ambition of the church here. To get the word of God into the hands of men and women. And you have that. To get men and women under the influence of the word. You are tonight. And I'm sure you have been in the past as well. You see, it was the truth of God that changed Lyttelton and West. And many, many years before those men were ever born, there was this man that we've read about tonight called Nathaniel. And he was changed as well. Changed through, we believe, listening to the testimony and preaching of John the Baptist. Now, when we think of Nathaniel tonight, we do think of what are known as the Synoptic Gospels. You have Matthew and Mark and Luke. And in those Gospels, he is referred to as Bartholomew. He's Nathaniel Bartholomew. And I'm sure some of you are aware tonight that the word Nathaniel, Nathan meaning gift, and the EL for Elohim meaning God, a gift of God. We believe that here was Nathaniel for a good part of his life. He was a godly man. He was from Cana of Galilee. And that was a place that during his early experience, before the time that we've read about tonight, there was a deep interest in the gospel in the area. And often down through history, that has been a harbinger of great blessing. A sudden interest among people in the Bible. A sudden newness of even intention to come along and to listen to the preaching of the word. And I know it discourages many Christians today that there are so few that seem to be interested. But there has always been periods like that. We must continue to pray that there will be a growing interest in the things of God. And Nathanael, he was a man who was stirred to seek the Messiah that had come. You see, his heart had been opened to listen to John the Baptist. And now we find him here somewhere where Philip was able to come along and to tell him that they had found the Messiah, that they had found the Christ. Now Nazareth, again, as some of you would be aware, was a place that was particularly despised. Therefore, Nathanael, his immediate reaction here is, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Reminds me that prejudice is destructive. And whenever we preach the gospel, we are instructed to preach it to men and women without fear or favour. Whatever your background might be, the gospel is the message of hope for you. And you'll see that Philip said to him there, he said, "Come and see." But I'm drawing your attention tonight to some of the words that Nathanael said to the Lord. He says here in verse 48, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when I was under the fig tree, I saw thee." You'll notice earlier on he says there, "Behold, an Israelite indeed," verse 47, "in whom as no guile." These words arrested the attention of Nathanael. And he's puzzled for a moment, and he says, "Whence knowest thou me?" Now, what was said there is linked with what you read over in 1 Kings chapter 4. Because, you know, whenever the Lord said to him there, "When I was under the fig tree, I saw thee," I just want to read you what it says in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree." And in those days, men would have dwelt there. It was a place of seclusion. They would have been there to worship, there to spend time in prayer and commune there with the Lord. And it was a very, very important time as far as they were concerned. But what we really want to draw your attention to tonight is that Jesus saw him and he said, "Whence knowest thou me?" Do you notice there when the Lord Jesus said to him, "I saw thee," do you see that he addresses the Lord Jesus there as Rabbi in verse 49? Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And then he went on to say some very interesting things. Verse 51, "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, as we have a look tonight for the remainder of the meeting here at this man, Nathanael, who became a prince with God, one who was brought out of darkness into the light and liberty of the gospel, we have given the title, as we mentioned already, to focus our attention, "Whence knowest thou me?" And I have four brief points, and they all begin with A. So there's four A's. The first one is announcement. There is an announcement here. You see those words that we mentioned just a wee while ago concerning the Lord Jesus, that he said, "When I was under the fig tree," verse 48, "I saw thee." Under the fig tree, generally speaking, he would have been hid from human view. But the Lord saw him. And you see, Nathanael here realized that truly he was speaking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore the Lord was speaking to him and informing him that there was that time when Christ had looked right into his heart. Again, going back to what is said towards the end of the chapter, there really is a reference here to Jacob, really, where it goes back to that time at Bethel, where it speaks there of the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know all about Jacob's ladder. You know that the picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. And really the situation here is one where here is a man and the Lord is reminding him, is saying, "I looked right into your heart when you were under that fig tree." And when the Lord would have looked into his heart, the Lord would have noted his sins, the Lord would have noted his disappointments, and the Lord would have noted his misconceptions. And people today will, I was going to say, they will give themselves to drink, but they do a lot of other things too, to try to somehow or another have themselves taken completely out of the equation as far as God is concerned. Especially some people that have come from a gospel background, they will seek as best they can to almost live a camouflaged life where they can't be seen, where people will not pass any remark concerning them and concerning perhaps the home that they have been brought up in. But God looks into their heart. In fact, as someone once said regarding the heart of man and his life is an open book before the Lord. An open book before the Lord. All of the sins, all of the disappointments from tasting what the world has to offer, and all of the misconceptions. As the Lord looks into your heart tonight, He sees you just as you are. Just the way He looked long ago into the heart of Nathanael, He saw him just as he was. So easily we can be fooled by appearances. Even by first speech and how a person may react in a given circumstance. And we can live to look back on that occasion and say, how wrong we got it. We didn't see that person as they really were. Well, it's never like that with the Lord. And I want you to understand that tonight, unsaved person. You and I are dealing with the same Christ. You see, He is not limited to that which appears to all and sundry. But as He looks into the meeting tonight, and as He looks into your heart tonight, He strips away everything that is unreality. He takes it all away. And He rightly describes men and women. The writer to the Hebrews there, in Hebrews chapter 4, well-known verse, it's verse 13, it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." People will disagree with that. And more than that, they will seek to ignore altogether the final part of the verse after it says, "All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." You see that? That's you. And that's me. With whom we have to do. You might look at what the psalmist said there in the Psalm number 19. And it's the verse 8. It says there, "Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance." And whether it is in a gospel meeting like this, or whether it is in the quietness of your own home, or in some other secluded corner where God speaks to your heart, God does exactly what we read of here in Psalm 90 and the verse 8. "Thou hast set our iniquities before us, before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance." Why does He do that? And how does He do it? Because He sees you. He sees you. And while this was an announcement many years ago to Nathanael, dear friend, it's an announcement to every unconverted man tonight. God sees you. If you look there as well, back a few pages in the book of Psalms to Psalm number 50, verse 21. Psalm 50 and verse 21, it says, "These things Thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as Thyself. But I will reprove Thee, and set them in order before Thine eyes." You see, God time and time and time again reminds man through His Word that He sees him just as he is. He sees him just as he is. A few seconds ago, we read there in Hebrews chapter 4 about the everything being naked and open before the eyes of the Lord. It says there, "But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." The word "naked" there actually is a reference to, it is a reference taken from the world of the butcher. And it's the reference is
to a fled animal. I was thinking about that the other night. I can't remember where I was with Charith, but someone was stocking a butcher shop and they brought out these hooks with the half animal on it. Now, a side of beef, or you call it whatever it is, I'm not sure what it is, but there it was half of the animal, and the animal had been split right down the middle and the whole lot was opened up. Now, is there anything wrong with that animal? You would like to think that the butchery people would make sure it never reached the shelves. But there's one thing for sure, when that animal was flayed and when it was split from the top down to the bottom and opened up, there's absolutely nothing hidden. You could see it all. And that is the meaning of the word here where it says, naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's no word in God's word tonight that allows men and women to get around this truth that God sees you. He sees you. He said here to Nathaniel, I saw you. And in gospel meetings just like the one we're in tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ looks into hearts. And that is not something that you want to sweep aside as insignificant tonight. Because again, I draw your attention to the words, with whom we have to do. With whom we have to do. Other things, the preacher, the people in the meeting, all pale into relative insignificance as far as importance is concerned compared to this. You see, it's the Lord that you're dealing with tonight. And He says to you, whatever way you've come along to the meeting, and whatever your thoughts were before you came into the meeting, the announcement to you is tonight, I see you. And I see you just as you are. And I lay your iniquities out before you because I see you just as you are. Most of us tonight are familiar with the story of Belshazzar. He was spoilt and good for nothing and was born with a golden spoon in his mouth and it ruined him. And you find him in Daniel chapter 5. He's a man that is given to mockery. He is one who is making it well known to all that as far as he is concerned, God is dead. He's having his party. But God comes, and if I could use the words reverently tonight, God gate crashes the party. And God comes in and the writing appears on the wall. And right away Belshazzar is a different man. It's too late. Because judgment has been passed. It says there in Daniel chapter 5, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Those words are descriptive in the sense that they tell us that God does weigh men in the balance. How does He do it and why does He do it? He does it because He looks into your heart and sees how it is. He sees you. But those words also, in the way they are put here, they are showing that judgment has been passed. I honestly pray right now that that's not your portion tonight. Because the end of Belshazzar, after he was weighed in the balances and found wanting, the end of him was not good. It was not good. Remember the announcement tonight is. He had asked the Lord, from whence knowest thou me? He said, that's what he said to the Lord. The announcement was, I saw you. But we're going to move on this evening to the second word. And it is the word awareness. Do you see what the Lord said to him? The Lord said to him there in verse 47. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. He was an Israelite in the truest sense. Now I'd like you to turn with me to explain something from Romans chapter 2. And it's Romans chapter 2. I'll just give you a second to turn to that. Romans chapter 2 verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the awareness here is very clear. The Lord was aware as he looked at this man. He recognized him as an Israelite in truth. Now thousands in Israel were circumcised. They knew about prayer times. They would have knew passages of the Hebrew Bible. And they knew how to be an outward Jew. Just like plenty of people in Northern Ireland today. They could tell you a lot about Christianity. Some people that have got saved in recent times have told those they were speaking to, I could preach the gospel as well as you, but I just need to get saved. People who know all about prayer times, they all know about what the Bible says about repentance. They know what the Bible says about sin. They know what the Bible says about the shortness of time and the certainty of eternity. They know that all tonight. But they're just like the Jew that was a Jew outwardly. You see, religion, true Christianity, is a religion of the heart. And that is what we are dealing with tonight. And Nathanael's heart had been dealt with. He was a saved man. He had been brought from darkness into the light of the gospel. The Lord looked upon him. He was aware of that. I want to read what it says over there in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. I hope to focus more closely on some of these verses in the coming days, but I'm going to read them tonight. Colossians chapter 2 verse 11. In whom also, he's speaking here to Christians. Remember the words we read, please, in Romans 2. Compare them with these. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Over there, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse 19, we read these words, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. You can read it yourself. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So when the Lord turned, there was this announcement to this man, I saw you. And then there is the awareness shown. An Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And as Christ looks to this man tonight, he recognizes in him a man who is converted. A man who has been changed by grace, regenerated by the Spirit of God, brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And what does he see in you? On the 22nd of March 2015. Just the same as he did last year, this time, and the year before that as well. And what a solemn thing it is, man or woman. What a shattering thought it is for your Christian friends to think of you coming along to meetings like this. And the Lord looking into your heart, seeing you as he surely does, and realizing that you have nothing there. Nothing there regarding God's salvation. Do you remember what we noted on another occasion? We did mention the chapter last week, and we looked at the children of Israel in Egypt, and we looked at taking a lamb. The week before last it was taking a lamb. Well, in that passage where the lamb was to be slain, the blood, of course, was to be applied to the doorposts and lintels of the houses. And then the death angel was going to come down into Egypt. The message was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hence, we have the Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. If there was an Israelite family there, and there was someone in the house, and they were a little bit alarmed, wondering when they knew what was going to come upon Egypt, just wondering, was it really okay with their house? They could go out and look and see the blood mark there, and they could have assurance and confidence that all was well as far as they were concerned, because the Lord said, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. Tell me tonight, man or woman, if the death angel were to come your way, and as far as physical life was concerned, it was to leave you tonight, would there be that blood mark there where it could be said concerning you that all is well? Or would it have to be said concerning you, the Lord couldn't pass over you, but rather when you died, the wrath of God was still abiding upon you. Still abiding upon you. Remember the words we quoted in 2 Timothy 2 and 19. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It has to have been the ultimate tragedy in gospel churches when people determined by their action to go from the meetings to a Christless eternity. And don't think that it doesn't happen. You'd be familiar tonight with the words perhaps concerning Chorazin and Capernaum. Do you remember what it says that in the word that it was even better for Sodom and Gomorrah? If the works that had been done in Chorazin and Capernaum, that they would have repented in sackcloth long ago. What does that say to us tonight? It shows us clearly that there are degrees of punishment and hell. And I do not say that tonight to deliberately try to frighten anyone, but rather to prompt you to look at your own heart tonight. Do you remember what he said here? He said, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. The word guile actually means fraud. Is it a reference to Jacob? The context, I believe, is play on words there. You think of Psalm 32. What it says over there. Psalm 32. It's the verse 1 and 2. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And that's what Christ pronounced concerning Nathanael. He was really saying to Nathanael, you're a justified man. There's no guile in you. And you know something tonight, folks? As the Lord Jesus Christ looks in on us tonight, he does say something concerning you and me. He will either say to us that there's no guile, as he looks into our hearts, again as he surely does, he will say there's no guile there, that man is justified, that woman is justified, the blood mark is there, they are saved by grace. Or he will say that your heart is still in darkness and in sin. But rest assured, he will say something. And judgment he will make. Over there in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. People don't like to think of there being a division among people and any difference being there. You're quite familiar with this passage. The Lord has often in this book made much of the blessedness of his own people and what he's able to do for them. But note what it says in verse 22 of Matthew 7. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That is going to be the portion of some. And when you think of that tonight, it shows us that there is a division very often in a place of worship like this. There are those who are with the Lord and those who are not. And perhaps even in family gatherings, and I'm often conscious of this when we all get together, there are those there who are the Lord's and sadly there are those who are not. But remember the word, awareness. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And I wonder as he looks to you tonight, can he utter words like an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile? I trust that he can. If you're a Christian, that is what the Lord says concerning you this evening. But we have another word It is a word we have given is affirmation. Word affirmation. Do you see what Nathanael says there to the Lord? We noted this earlier in verse 41. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Here is true faith confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a man in a situation just like any other man where he has realized that there is no other way. The words are known right across the world tonight. Where the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Millions can quote them. But we fear that multitudes have never really felt the impact of their importance. And they have never come to Him. And I wonder tonight, as you consider what we've said here already, are you still unchanged? You know about waywardness. You know what it has cost you. At this time in your life, whatever age you are, you know how many disappointments it has brought you. You know the anxiety perhaps that it has brought to your heart every now and again as you consider your waywardness. You're all too familiar with it. But you also know the way. Heard from your little boy or little girl. You heard the way of the cross. The story of the gospel. Your need of repentance. I could go further and say, not only do you know about waywardness, you know about the way. You know about the waiting punishment. Eternal damnation. Maybe it doesn't cost you a thought tonight. It doesn't alarm you perhaps, even as it used to alarm you before. Well, we want to say to you tonight that you ought to ask the Lord right now to give you that alarm in your heart that will prompt you to turn to Him, that you might be in a position similar to that which Nathanael was in when he could say to Him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Here's a man that was born again. Well, Christians have their faults, all right. Preachers especially. But everyone that is saved can say, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Sing the word sometimes, King of my life, I crown thee now. There's not many doing it. We just heard this evening there that another person in Calgary Church in Canada has come to the Lord. That's three in that church over the past couple of weeks. Long may it continue. So many have sat for half a lifetime in churches like this and have never come. You need to come tonight. The final word, again, it begins with A. It is the word assurance. We've already read together verses 50 and 51 here. And the reference, of course, is to Jacob's ladder. Jesus is saying here, I am the real ladder. That's what he's reminding him of. I am the real ladder. He's really saying, you have come to me, the one who is the one and only mediator. And he's saying here to Nathanael, one day your faith will give place to sight. See what it says there? He says, and he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's saying to him here, one day your faith will give place to sight. He's saying really to Nathanael, he's saying, your faith is real. And the reference that I've made tonight, this is to paraphrase what the Lord is saying, you will be there. You will be there tonight. See where it says at the end of verse 50, thou shalt see greater things than these. The best days are ahead for every Christian. With all the disappointments in the Christian life, trying to do your best for the Lord, whether you see multitudes saved or you don't see very many. Whatever difficulties come our way, the best is still ahead for those who trust, have trusted, and those who know the Lord. Men and women, tonight I close by saying this, that heaven is shut to unbelief. Heaven is shut to unbelief. But Nathanael is there. And he asked a good question. He said, whence knowest thou me? And I trusted in what I have said, that in some way have shown how the Lord knew all about him. The Lord saw him. We noted that. The Lord looked into his heart. We know that as well. The Lord had saved him. We know that. The Lord had promised him, one day you will be in glory. And I wonder, could that be said of you tonight? One day when I was looking through a book not that long ago, I came across this little, it's a poem really concerning heaven, and I trust you listen well. No disappointment in heaven, it was called. And this is what it says. There's no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow or pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky, for all will be sunshine and gladness, with never a sob nor a sigh. I'm bound for the beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all of the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Every Christian will be there. Will you be there tonight? Will you be there tonight singing around the throne, singing washed in the blood of the Lamb? Can be a good night if you will come. You can leave this building tonight and the Lord would say concerning you, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. A true believer. One who has firmly trusted in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I trust that that will be your portion. Maybe you're asking the question, whence knowest thou me? I've explained that as much as I can in the time that I had. He knows all about you. Knows all about your hesitant spirit. Knows all about your arguments too. And knows why they're there. And folks, he knows all about what opportunity you have left. I trust tonight that you will consider that well. And that you will come and trust the Saviour. And you'll be able to read a poem like this. And be encouraged by it, knowing that like Nathaniel, one day your faith will give way to sight. Now, doing funeral services is always very, very difficult. But whenever it is the funeral service of a Christian person, you always, as a preacher, have that thought in your mind. Their faith may have been 50, 60, 70 years ago or more, maybe a lot less than that, when they come and trusted the Saviour. As you conduct their funeral service, their faith has given way to sight. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. Make sure tonight that you're ready for heaven and for home. And may the Lord use his word to speak onto your heart.